So John 21, we're just going to start with 1 to 14. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. He revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called Twin, Nathanael from Cana of Galilee, Zebedee's sons, and two others of his disciples were together. I'm going fishing, Simon Peter said to them. We're coming with you, they told him. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. When daybreak came, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not know it was Jesus. Friends, Jesus called to them, you don't have any fish, do you? No, they answered. Cast the net on the right side of the boat, he told them, and you'll find some. So they did, and they were unable to haul it in because of the large number of fish. The disciple, the one Jesus loved, said to Peter, it is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he tied his outer clothing around him, for he had taken it off, and plunged into the sea. Since they were not far from land, about 100 yards away, the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire there, with fish lying on it, and bread. Some of the fish you've just caught, Jesus told them. So Simon Peter climbed up and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. Even though there were so many, the net was not torn. Come and have breakfast, Jesus told them. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them. He did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. Back in John 21, and the second part, verses 15 through to the end of the chapter. When they had eaten breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said to him. You know that I love you. Feed my lambs, he told them. A second time he asked, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, he said to him. You know that I love you. Shepherd my sheep, he told him. He asked him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved that he asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Feed my sheep, Jesus said. Truly I tell you, when you were younger, you would tie your belt and walk wherever you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will tie you and carry you where you don't want to go. He said this to indicate by what kind of death Peter would glorify God. After saying this, he told him, follow me. So Peter turned around and saw the disciple Jesus loved following them, the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and asked, Lord, who is the one that's going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, Lord, what about him? If I want him to remain until I come, Jesus answered, what is that to you? As for you, follow me. So this rumor spread to the brothers and sisters that this disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not tell him he would not die. But if I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. we know that his testimony is true. And there is also many other things that Jesus did, which, if every one of them were written down, I suppose not even the world itself could contain the books that would be written. May God bless his precious word to our hearts this day. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Dawn. Keep your sword out, because as we just saw there, even the disciples could get things wrong. So we've got to keep coming back to God's written word for us here. I just want to show you a picture. That is a quick shot of a few years ago. I decided to run a pathway for over the headlands from, that's Red Rock, down to Whoopi or Woolgoolga, which is on the coast near Coffs Harbour. Now, along the way, you go over the headland and along the beach for a bit, and there's pathways as you go around there. Different people join that path with you along the way. I made it to the end, so that was good. I'm going on holidays tomorrow. I'll tell you about the venture next time or what I get up to. But today, we're thinking about this pathway, and we're thinking about the discipleship pathway at ABCH. And we're at the end of John. And at the end of John, you might think that this is the end of the pathway for the disciples, because we're at the last chapter, but we'll have a think about that in a moment. I'm going to pray for us. I'm going to pray and ask you to pray with me. And I pray the words of Psalm 19, which I pray, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts may be pleasing to you, our Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, thinking in John 21, that first part of the story, 1 to 14, is it the end or is it the beginning of the pathway for these disciples? I'm going to give you 10 seconds to work that out, and then you're going to call that out to the person next to you. So now you've only got 3 seconds, and after 3, 2, 1, you're going to say, okay. You can ask them later on why they said beginning or the end to you, and you can continue that conversation. But look at verse 1 of verse 21. It said, afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. Here's the place. Tiberias is an emperor. There is a town on the sea, on the sea called Tiberias. I didn't actually go there, but this is when I was actually on the sea in Galilee. It's also known, as I just said then, the Sea of Galilee when I was in there in May, because it's in the region of Galilee. There's another name for it in Luke 5, which is called the Lake Gennesaret, and it's also known as Kinneret, because that's the shape that it is, like a harp. From the Hebrew word, I believe. So there they are in the Sea of Tiberias, or the Sea of Galilee, or whatever you want to call it. Jesus makes himself known to them, that word that he has done in chapter 17. He manifests himself to them. This is another time when he did that. Did you notice there was a seven with them? So here they are. There's Peter. There's Thomas, also called Didymus. There's Nathanael. He's from Cana in Galilee. There's the sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, and there's two other disciples were together. I'm going fishing, Peter told them. And they said, we'll come with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Here's Peter, he is the leader of leaders. He says, I'm going back to fishing. You know, it seems to be all over. It seems to be the end. Jesus died, and I'm going back to fishing, what I know. And so there is Peter. Remember that Jesus has called him to a new fishing for people. And we looked at that in Matthew 4 on stool number 3 when we looked at that. But notice here, as they fish, they caught nothing, and then Jesus calls out to them. Jesus addressed to them. He says, early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, "Haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul in the net because of the large number of fish. So here they are. Jesus, did you notice he's addressed to them? Friends, some have children. You may want to think about why he addresses them as that some other time. But John's label of Jesus, and he calls out and realizes who it is. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around himself, for he had taken off. He jumped into the water, and the other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net of full fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 90 metres. Peter, the leader of leaders, leads the way into the water. The disciples say, "No, we're not doing that." They take the load of fish, and if you notice there, we normally strip off to jump into the water. He puts his strip on to jump in the water. Makes you think, is he fishing in the nude? Nude fishing sounds dangerous when you're thinking about tackle and you're thinking about bait. And as we talked in our life group, it could be dangerous. Don't try that at home. There's the application. No. But friends, a real application here from one of the, what I call lamb in our life group, because we have young people in the faith or young on the path. And one of the applications which they helpfully drew out when we looked at this on Thursday is that sometimes you can labour on things and you get nowhere. And you can labour in your job, you can labour in a relationship, labour in your marriage, labour even in your ministry, because you're going at it at your own strength. But when you listen to Jesus' words and follow his direction, you see the blessing that comes. The men have been all night labouring at it. They listen to Jesus. And how many fish? 153 large ones. Great little application there for us as we think about that as well. Just to finish off this a little bit, says Peter climbed out of the boat. He dragged in the fish ashore. There was a large fish, 153, and not even the nets were torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time he had appeared and made himself known to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Jesus then has a personal word for John and a personal word to him as it just finishes off the little section and moves into the next section. But if you think about Peter and this personal word that comes to him in John 21, actually think about the journey that Peter's been on and the pathway that he's been on. In chapter 13, he gets up and says, "Lord, I'll follow you now, anywhere." And then the very next verse that Jesus says to him, "Really, will you lay down your life for me, Peter?" In chapter 14 through to 17, which we looked at closely, he then has this conversation with them and has this commissioning service. In chapter 18, Peter denies him three times, and then in chapter 21, he's reinstated here. Peter thought it was the end. Jesus had died. He thought that was the end. And Peter had thought that he had denied Jesus and it was all over. But Jesus had work for him, yes. He was a fisher of people. He thought that this was the end, but this is really only the beginning, isn't it? And if we were to think now of discipleship pathway that happens in John, that Jesus takes his followers on, if you think big and broadly in chapters 1 through to 13, well, Jesus is connecting with people. He's doing that all the time. He connected with Andrew and Peter and Andrew. They were from Bethsaida. Bethsaida is a place which is at the northern tip of the Sea of Galilee. It's fertile ground for farming, and it's close to a fishing pot with lots of fish in it, the lake. He also met James and John, Philip, and we know here Nathanael. And Nathanael is only mentioned here again in chapter 21. He appears in chapter 1 in John. Nathanael is in Cana, that's closest to Nazareth, where Jesus grew up in Galilee. Now, half of the 3 years of Jesus' ministry, he spent connecting, investing with people, and he's constantly meeting people and connecting with people. So, in further chapters and as you follow on, now, there's a picture of Capernaum, and he takes his disciples to Capernaum. I'll mention that in a moment, but he's connecting with people in John. And in John 1, he meets these followers. In John 2, who does he meet? He meets a group of people because he goes to a wedding. In John 3, who does he meet? He meets personally with a man named Nicodemus. Chapter 4, who does he meet with? Personally with a lady at a well. In chapter 5, he meets a paralyzed man at the pool. Do you want me to go on? He keeps meeting people, right? All the time. He's constantly having new connections. He's connecting with people on the journey and calling other people. He wins some of those people to himself, and they follow him. They follow him, as I said, to the wedding and then to Capernaum, where they set up this ministry hub. Now, this is a picture of a place in Capernaum. This became Jesus' hometown and the hometown of the disciples. And like a lot of places in Israel, they've built a church over it, right? It's a pretty cool church because it's suspended over where they think possibly those places are and those dwellings were. And this is right on the sea, right on the tip of the lake, on the top northern end. Well, Jesus wins people to himself. He then, once he's won them to himself, he actually builds them up and he trains them. This is on-the-job training as they go with him. This is intense training. It's kind of like a 9-month intensive he has with them. There's 6 fishing trips along the way. Our fishermen will be happy about that, won't they? Check out the fishing journeys that he takes them on. And then he sends them out. And he sends them out. He appoints the 12. He sends the 12 out. And then he sends 72 out. He's multiplying leaders. And this happens over probably a period of over 12 months on this journey. But if we still think of the discipleship pathway in John, well, that's up to chapter 13. Then in 14 to 17, he has that the commissioning service for the 11 disciples. And that's before then he calls them, and he calls here this final commission and or recommissioning in 21, and particularly of Peter. There's a little hiccup in the meantime in 18 to 20. Well, it's a hiccup for the disciples. They think Jesus has died. But he's not only has been arrested, he died, he rises to life again. And then he has this personal recalling of disciple-making to Peter. There's a quick story through John, in the pathway through John, that Jesus takes people on. But a personal story from me, and a little quick personal story. When I spent times on the shores of Galilee, I ate a St. Peter's fish. Did you know there was such? There is a St. Peter's fish, and it comes out of the Sea of Galilee. And this was after we had visited the Church of the Primacy, which is on the place and the space where they think this encounter happened, with Jesus on the shore and breakfast with his disciples. But the thing I want to share with you here, and there's a picture of the church, as I sat reflecting on John 21, and the church is right on the shore, the sea's only about 20 metres from here. As I spent time reflecting on John 21, 2 things came to me. The Lord showed me 2 things about my call to ministry and about the ministry that I was in. The first thing is, this is a mission of grace. Peter had failed Jesus 3 times significantly, denied him 3 times. But here is Jesus restoring him in another chance, another opportunity for him to trust Jesus. This is a story of grace, and this is a gospel of grace that I share and that I've been called to. Second thing was this, that there are new disciples. You might call them lambs, new disciples. And there's old sheep as well, new and old. They all need feeding and they all need a shepherd. And I was keenly reminded of that at that time, and the Lord pressed that upon me. But as I looked at it this time, and as I looked at John 21, that was personally what I looked at, but the time that I looked at this time, I noticed something else. I discovered this. Jesus uses love differently to Peter uses love. Jesus uses love differently to Peter uses love. Now remember, and if you cast your mind back to John 15, and I talked about remaining in love in John 15. And I talked about the three words for love that we find in Greek. And one of them is eros, which is like a flame and a, you know, burning of love, just a desire that happens. Second one is philos, which is like love that you have for a friend. And the third one is agape, or agape, however you say it. And that is full-on love. So there's the three. In English, we do a similar thing. You know, you can say, I love that movie. Or you say, oh, I have a loving friend. Or you can talk about unconditional love. We talk about love in different ways, right? Well, here Jesus says, do you love me? Do you agape me, Peter? Peter answers, yes, Lord, I philos you. I'm fond of you. He says it twice. Jesus asks him twice. The third time, Jesus says to him, he uses Peter's words. He says, do you philos me? Are you fond of me? Peter says, yes, I'm fond of you. I said it three times now. He's getting a little bit disappointed. And then Jesus goes on to say, well, I tell you that if you're fond of me, what this is going to mean, Peter, you're going to really have to love me. Because you're going to be led places you don't want to go. You're going to be tied up and you're going to be stretched out. You're going to have to really actually love me and full on love me if you're going to follow me totally. It's not just being fond of me. It's not a flash desire. This is full on love. And Jesus is totally committed to him. Are we totally committed to him? And that's a question for us all. But I want to take us to the second half and thinking about chapters 15 through to 25, because this is the part where we see the calling for Peter to feed the sheep on the pathway. Now, before they become sheep, they have to get connected and they have to be one to the shepherd. And then at ABCH, we're thinking about this pathway, and the pathway which has how many stations? Thank you. Five stations, but there is 10 steps. Five stations, 10 steps. And the first station is to connect, and the first step is for someone to connect with a Christian. And the second step is for them to connect and come along to a gathering, an event at ABCH. Well, we had connecting happen this week at MOPS. There was a whole lot of women. There's a handful of, or a few Christian ladies that are part of that gathering. There's like 40 to 50 mothers that are part of that. And there's connecting happening there. We have other events like Christmas on the Plateau. That's happening in December 14. It's a chance to connect broadly with our wider community. And there is a meeting happening for that on Tuesday. There's a quick plug for that if you didn't catch that. And it's back at the park too. Did you know? Yay, that's right. Thank you, Gwen. Does anyone else yay with Gwen? I yay with Gwen. Yay. I reckon that's a great venue. But connecting, thinking about connecting. How are you connecting with people even in your street? Who are the people that God wants you to connect with? How are you going to connect with them? Good question to ask. Why are you thinking about a discipleship pathway? Second station is what? To win. And there's the third step there. Some of the things that we have to win people in at different gatherings is the gingerbread night, which will be happening. later in the year. And that will be a gentle win as someone shares their story, encourages others to think about following Jesus. We can have guest services, which might be a more stronger call for people to come and follow Jesus. Now, here's an opportunity to do that. Or we may have more guided ones where we do things like the LifeWorks or an Alpha course, and where we guide people through a journey of Jesus, coming to a decision of and asking them to make a decision about following him and being one to him. Now, maybe people will get one to Jesus by you reading with them through John's Gospel. Maybe God has that in order for you. But once they see that Jesus is the Lamb of God who can take away the sin of the world, to borrow a phrase from John, and once they come to him and come under the flock of the Good Shepherd, another phrase from John, they are like a lamb. And it may be that people are one to Jesus and then they join us. They are one to Jesus on the internet somehow and then they turn up at ABCH. Well, what do we do with them? Well, we want to build them and we want to train people. And that moves on to our next thing, thinking about a discipleship, course. This gathering here is primarily about building up believers and our life groups, living in faith every day. They're groups about gathering together to build each other up. That's step 5, 6, and 7. But when you think about, John 15, through to 25, just to have a look at three, I just want to point you to three things. Those three phrases which Jesus calls Peter to. And this is the idea of building and how you build people up. How are you going to build those people that come and be one to Jesus? Well, he calls them lambs, as I've already mentioned. That's because they're newly one to Jesus. They're young on the path. They may be young, they may be old in the journey of life, but young in the path of faith. He calls them lambs. He calls them my lambs. Did you notice in verse 15? They are Jesus' lambs, so you better be careful how we treat them. And he says, feed them. Well, how are you going to feed the lambs? Well, we feed them on the word of God, because as Jesus said, people don't live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from God. He knew that. He taught that. And if you were to flick over a page from John to Acts and you end up in Acts 2, just over the page, there's 3,000 people in one day that are one to the Lord. Now, I picked up this week from the Bible Society that there is about 2,700 people a day in China that come to the Lord. It's almost like a Pentecost every day at the moment in China. Isn't that amazing? Every day. And so they estimate there is about 100 million Christians in China, Chinese Christians. Do you know what? The Bible was banned there up until the time that I was born. And you say, that wasn't that long ago. To 78, the Bible was banned up until 78. You know that there's 70% of those that are Christians, of that 100 million Chinese Christians, 70% of them live in rural areas, which means that they only have about $1.30 a day to live on, which means they don't have the money really to be buying a Bible. So here's the challenge. How do we get and how do we feed those lambs? That's a challenge, a real one, that I come across my path this week. Feed them the same as we're feeding our young people as well. You know, some people need milk, not meat. And how do we get the word to them? That's why our kids at the moment are following what we're doing in big church as well, and that's why we've designed that way at the moment. There's lambs in our kids' church, I'm saying. Not only are there lambs in China, but there's lambs in kids' church. And the challenge is, then, how do we feed them up? Secondly, Jesus says in verse 15, feed my lambs. Secondly, he says to Peter, reinforcing, he says, take care of my sheep. Shepherd of the sheep. What does a shepherd do? Well, obviously he leads the sheep and he feeds the sheep and leads them to food. Tend is another word of saying it. Tend the sheep. I suppose we know better about tending the garden in Austinville, don't we? Tend the gardens means what do you have to do? You have to feed things and you have to weed things. In a similar way, called to weed out untruths and to feed. And to feed the sheep on the word. Now, I was reminded keenly of that as I sat on the shores of the Sea of Galilee as a pastor. I'm called to that. If you're a life group leader, that is one of your responsibilities as well, to feed and to weed out, to weed. And if you're a member or a leader of any Christian small group, that is a call on your life. But thirdly, as we move to the third call, in verse 17, where he says, did you notice there's slight changes in things? Not take care of my sheep here, it's feed my sheep. So we had feed the lambs, we've had shepherd the sheep, we've had feed the sheep. Now Jesus feeds them physically here with fish, but he feeds them spiritually as well as he shares with them a word and they trust him, cast your net on the other side, and they do. And physically and spiritually they are built up. Sheep have to be fed the word, and there's multiple ways of doing that. And there's maybe some sheep in your family that you are called to look after. There may be some lambs in your family, within your own immediate family, which you are called to shepherd. And you have to think about how you guide and how you shepherd them. Well, the fourth station is to train them. Once they're built up, is training. And this is a step of training in two areas. And the two areas happen to be about sharing and happen to be about serving. We're thinking about how we train people up here in church life at ABCH. One of the things is about training specifically people to go on a short-term trip to Laos. And we're hoping to do that in 2019. Maybe we'll even get to China in 2020, and that would be a good thing to do, an opportunity to do that. But there needs to be some training to work up to how to do that and how to do that well. As I mentioned, there's already Christmas on the plateau, and we tried some visitation last year. But thinking about getting trained to actually visit people to invite our community along. Go out, knock on their door. Sounds a bit scary, but I reckon you could be trained. I reckon anyone who can open their mouth can be trained to do that. And I challenge you to that. We're having multimedia training this afternoon, as I mentioned. We want to develop leaders, and we want to develop our life group leaders as well. We have care force facilitators who we want to train and want to get trained, which is happening. We want people to be trained as teachers. We want people to be trained as pastors. We want people to be trained as preachers and as evangelists. And we've been focusing in on that through Evangelism Shift, which helps us think about being an everyday evangelist. Personal evangelism. But we need to want to train people publicly for evangelism as well. And we need to train people as apostles, sent ones. That's all out of Ephesians 4, which we've been studying as a church and going through as a church. We've been feeding on that, haven't we? That's been a reading that we've been reading systematically through Ephesians, feeding on that together. Well, lastly, in the fifth station, and you're all awake for it, aren't you? Good, is sending and being sent. Jesus knew his sentness. We just looked at that in John 17. He says in 14 to 17, he says, as I have been sent, so I send you. Jesus knew his sentness. He talked to his followers about it. Paul knew that he was the sent one, as we just read in Ephesians 6 together. Peter was reminded here in John 21, to go and feed the lost sheep, and he was the apostle, the sent one to the Jews in Acts. But do we know our sentness? As I said, we've been thinking about that, and Evangelism Shift has really helped us to think about that as a church. Sent back to your street, because that's probably where you go from here. I don't know exactly where all of you are going, but you'll go back into your street as a sent one. But thinking a bit broader than that, sent into our region. We're part of the Northern Rivers region, and we have a vision of training up leaders and sending them into this region to start up new gatherings. And we want to see 30 leaders trained by 2030. But thinking more broadly than that, of New South Wales and ACT, and we have a vision of seeing 1,000 healthy gatherings, Gen K1, 1,000 healthy generations by 2015. Or even as we've talked about today and prayed for today, that there's specific people set aside to be sent ones overseas. But sentness is all about multiplying leaders to be sent back to the beginning so that they're ready and able to take people through of how to connect with others, how to win others to Jesus, how to build them and train them, and then send others, and the multiplication happens. And so it goes on, and at the end, you're ready to take others to the beginning and walk them through the pathway, making and multiplying disciples. That is what the pathway is about. That is what we want to be on about at ABCH, and that's which I'm going to commit and which I commend to you, and I'm going to commit to the Lord in prayer, and I'll ask you to pray with me right now. Dear Lord, we thank you so much that you have clearly set out a pathway for us to follow. Thank you for your word. Thank you that we can feed on it and have today, and pray that we continue to feed over it over morning tea and sharing it with one another, taking bits to one another and feeding on it together. And we pray for our young ones who have been feeding on your word as well. And we ask, Lord, that we may be built up, we may be trained in this place as we feed on your word, to be sent out and to take others through, to connect with others, to see them one to you and followers of you. And we pray for that place of China that has that great problem of working out how they feed the lamb. Many who come to you today, there's going to be 2,700 more followers of you, Lord God. And we ask that you provide for those young lambs the food that they need. We commit them to you now. We commit ourselves to you, and we commit this pathway to you in the name of Jesus. Amen.